Nuketown Radioactive number 78 for Sunday, May 31st, 2009. On this episode of Nuketown Radioactive, Cold stalked the Newquist household, I geek out about some computer upgrades, and I return to the world of Warcraft. In Netheads, I look at the Bard of Valiant, an RPG blog, and Saga Edition, a fan website dedicated to Star Wars Saga Edition. Finally, I round out the podcast with four cool games from the Nintendo Wii. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive, the occasional podcast where we breed the viruses that will eventually spread and take over the world. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and it has been a trying month. We've had nothing but gloop and sickness and, well, I won't go into all the gory details. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. We got colds first, which took out, I think, three-quarters of the family, followed by a stomach bug, which took out three-quarters of the family. So we've pretty much been sick for a good chunk of April and probably most of May as well, which, you know, it's just, it's grueling because even when you're feeling well, taking care of sick kids is a challenge. But when you're not feeling great and you have to take care of sick kids, it's just, it's just one heck of a challenge. And it's just something that, you know, you just kind of have to power through and hopefully somehow survive. The cold really threw me for a loop because it hit while Sue was away. So my son was actually staying with my in-laws, which was awesome. So all I had to do was take care of Stargirl, right? Not a big deal. One kid, what could possibly go wrong? And then I got this cold. And it was just really trying, especially since Stargirl was the one who got it first, right? So she was the one who got better first, and as a result I was also the one who got it last. So you know, I'm just kind of limping through these couple of days, and she's expecting that we're gonna be playing, that we're gonna be hanging out, that we're gonna be having fun, and all I want to do is just crash on the sofa and take a nap. And trying to explain to her that, you know, I know you're feeling better, but I feel awful, it's really just kind of hard to get through a six-year-old's head. So I distracted her with the Nintendo DS and the Wii, and managed to muddle through a couple of days. The misery index associated with the stomach bug was probably worse. Sue got that one. Stargirl just had a touch of it. But Neutron Lad, our two-year-old, was just, oh my God, he was just completely miserable. He had really just no idea how to cope with this thing. I mean, you know, a normal cold little kids are okay with, right? Their noses run. You know, you try and blow it occasionally, but for the most part, they just kind of go through it. And really, it's not a big deal for them. They don't even really seem to notice the runny noses. They're just kind of oblivious to all of the snot, right? But with a stomach bug, they can't help but notice that there's a lot of stuff going on here that's not normal. And I don't want to get into all the gory details. Parents will obviously, again, know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it turns out that being sick is kind of a learned experience, right? And no one ever teaches us how to be sick or how to deal with being sick. And I think as adults, we kind of forget this. So once we all recovered from our sickness, I came across an email from Kefren, who was coming in to visit the podcast from Yogg-Sothoth, and reported a problem with the show archives, that's the Radioactive show archives, that prevented episodes 13 to about 32 from being downloaded. So I went back in, saw what the problem was, fixed it all up, and I just got to thank, everybody for letting me know about the problem. It's all fixed. Now, speaking of tweaks, fixes, and upgrades, I've got some computer upgrades. I spent some of my hard-earned freelance cash, remember all those game reviews I did last fall and winter? And I spent some of my cash, and I got upgrades for my MacBook Pro and home office. First, I got a Lacy 320-gigabyte rugged hard drive, which is very, very cool. And I also got a Dell 22-inch HD LCD monitor to replace my very old 19-inch CRT monitor. And, you know, here's the amazing thing, folks. I discovered that when I put the LCD monitor on my desk that I actually have a desk. The old monitor used to just consume the entire space. You know, there was really nothing left over. with the LCD monitor there, it's much slimmer. Admittedly, the cat can't sit on top of the monitor anymore, but you know, I'm willing to give her a little bit of discomfort in order for me to actually have a desk again. So that was pretty cool. Some other things that we recently got, my wife and I went in on a Canon D60, which is a digital SLR. So it's kind of like your old 35 millimeter cameras, right? With a nice lens and stuff. And I was just completely geeking out about this thing because it's a beautiful camera, but second of all, I used to really be into photography when I was in high school and college, and you know, I used to use my mom's cameras a lot. She had some really nice stuff, and when I got out of high school and when I graduated from college, I still dabbled a little bit when I was working in newspapers, but for the most part, I kind of fell out of it. I just didn't want to invest all the money in getting non-digital stuff. When the new digital SLRs came out, you know, the prices were so high, it just wasn't worth it. Well, finally, prices have come down enough, and actually, Sue and I have enough of a reason to want a camera that we decided to go in on it. So Sue is using the camera over at her website for redtaildesigns.com, where she's taking photos of her stuff, you know, her projects in the backyard, her jewelry, her miscellaneous crafts and stuff. And really what she needed was a camera that could zoom in very nicely and take really crisp, high quality shots. And the D60 really hasn't disappointed. It's taken some just amazing stuff. And then the other gadget that we got, aside from the D60, is a Flip Minnow. Is it Minnow? Anyway, a Flip HD camera. And for those of you who haven't seen the HDs, or rather the Flips, what they are is basically a flash-based camera. So it has the flash drive inside of it, and that allows it to store up to an hour's worth of video. In this case, it's actually HD video, which is cool because it's nice to have the high-quality video, and you can display it full screen on a TV instead of just having the lower-quality stuff of the older cameras. Admittedly, we don't have an HD an HD TV right now, but we're kind of looking to the future, and we're going to have one eventually. But the big thing for me was just being able to have the higher resolution and to be able to, you know, view the videos full screen on my computer if I wanted to, or let my mom or my sister watch the videos full screen on their computers. So I've been really, really happy with it. The other really cool thing that the Flip does is that it records all the video as M4Vs. So the video is really just ready to go once it comes off the camera. You don't really need to edit it at all. You could just send it off. Now, I have been editing it. I've been using it in iMovie and putting some stuff together because, you know, even when you're out in the field and you're just shooting stuff, if you're trying to get it off quick, it's nice to know that you can just kind of drag and drop and boom, you're good to go. But I like to do a little bit of post-production stuff. So it's worked out great. I love it. It works and plays pretty well with my Mac. iPhoto sees the video just fine. I'm not quite sure why they're having iPhoto do this on the Mac, but whatever. So iPhoto sees the video, and then when I launch iMovie, it sees that there is video in iPhoto that I can work with, and I can just create a new project and start editing. So I've been really pleased with it. And the kicker here is that we had a video camera. We actually bought it when Stargirl was born. And it was using mini DV tapes. So it was kind of a hassle, right? Because you could record the video and it would be on the TV, on the tapes. But then if you wanted to do anything with it, you had to get out your FireWire cable, import the video into iMovie, edit it into shape, export it again, and then finally you had a movie. Oh, did I mention that the quality of the movie wasn't really all that great? It was kind of grainy, especially inside. So we kind of thought, our son is doing some really cool things right now. He's reached the cusp of being a three-year-old, and what comes with that are all these great stories and explanations and other things as he just starts to begin to articulate what's going on in his head. You know, he's been doing this, you know, for the last year or so as a two-year-old, but I think once they hit three, they're able to kind of put it all together, and you get just such great insights into what they're thinking and how they view the world. And we wanted to be able to capture it. And the Flip is just perfect for this. You just kind of can keep it in your pocket. You can keep it on the bookshelf, whatever. You get it out and you just press a button and boom, you're good to go. And then once you've recorded the video, you press a button, the USB connector flips out, thus giving it its name, and you hook it up to your computer and download the video and you're done. And you know, that was the attraction of it for us. And I got to say, it's been worth every penny. It's just been a really fantastic investment. So I think all told, I'm pretty pleased with our geeky purchases this this spring. And well, I guess it's still spring. It's not quite into summer yet, although the calendar says that it's almost June. It's been a pretty good summer for geeky stuff. And, you know, it feels good to spend money occasionally when, you know, I spend all this time writing and doing these game reviews and kind of slowly accumulating some cash. And all this stuff was kind of expensive, but it was also nice to be able to have that cash that I had accumulated from all of that hard work in the fall and the winter and the early spring, and to be able to turn around and buy some cool stuff for the house. So that was just, well, what can I say? One geeky spring. Now, on another geeky note, I have returned to the World of Warcraft after being about 3 years out of it. I had started playing World of Warcraft, I think when Stargirl was probably around 2 years old, something like that. And I played it for, I think, about a year. And I had fun with it. The real reason why I was playing it was because all the friends that I have in my gaming group were playing it. And it was just really cool for us to be able to get online and just kind of hang out and do the different dungeons and, you know, adventure together. Eventually, it just got to be too much. The thing about it is it can be kind of time-consuming just because you get into this kind of mindset where you want to go out and get the stuff and explore new areas and just, you know, keep up with some of the storylines and such. And while, you know, it's not really creating any dynamic stories, you know, you're not really impacting the world with the stuff that you're doing, it's still a lot of fun and it's a beautiful game. So when my son was born about 3 years ago, suddenly it was something had to go. It was turning into a huge time sink. A couple of my friends had dropped off of WoW at that point. They'd been a little burned out on it. And it just didn't seem worth it to keep up anymore. So I let it go fallow for about 3 years. And now, well, everybody in my gaming group's back on WoW again. They're on a pretty big WoW kick. And we have some new people in the group who I didn't get to play with on World of Warcraft previously. So I thought, well, you know, maybe it's now the time to fire it up again. I've been trying to restrict my World of Warcraft play, which is, you know, something of a challenge sometimes because, you know, I should maybe be recording a podcast, but, you know, I feel the urge to play some WoW. So you have to balance those two things. You know, when I have deadlines for my freelance stuff, then obviously the freelance stuff comes first and WoW takes a back seat. But I've been enjoying it a lot. And I think the reason why is because it's a great way to just kind of relax. You know, there's not a huge amount of pressure in WoW. I'm not in a guild, so I don't have any of those social entanglements. I have my friends whom, you know, we get together online or we don't. And, you know, it can be a little bit repetitive. You know, you're going out and some of the quests are, you know, kill 10 of this thing or gather 10 of this thing. But it's still a lot of fun. And by fun, I mean you can just kind of sit back, relax, just kind of immerse yourself in the world and just not get too hung up on anything. You know, you do a couple of quests, hang out with a couple of friends, and leave it at that. So for me, it's kind of fitting my geeky gaming lifestyle right now. I'm on probably 2 or 3 nights a week, maybe for an hour or two at a time, if that. It really depends on what my deadlines look like and if I've got some special projects that I'm working on for work or how guilty I am about not having put out a podcast in the last month. But I'm definitely enjoying it.
A cowboy on the run to keep his soul. A vampire running a Nigerian investor scam. A wolf racing to the mountaintop before a dragon can catch and kill him. A human protecting one of the aliens he fought in war from his old army buddy. Meet these and other heroes and villains in Serving Worlds, the genre-blending podcast fiction collection by John Miro. For more information, visit johnmiro.com. That's johnmiero.com. Weekly episodes are 20 minutes or less, but beware, there be cliffhangers here.
So my Knights of the Old Republic Star Wars role-playing game campaign is going really well. We are currently into something like the 15th or 16th session. We're up to our 5th episode, and I'm liking it. We're at about, I think, level 4 as so far. And we've done a really good job, I think, of establishing the characters, establishing their little portion of the Star Wars universe, which takes place on a world of our own creation called Zebulon, which is actually a nod to Star Frontiers, but in name only. The rest of it is stuff we've put together. And we've just really been having a lot of fun with it. The challenge has really been attendance at campaigns. We've had people kind of coming in and out, and some people can make it 1 week and other people can make it another week. So in general, we're getting like 3 to 4 people attending, which could be a bit of a challenge to GM for. But all in all, I'm really enjoying it. We have a good balance of our Jedi characters and our non-Jedi characters, and the Jedi are investigating a possible Sith cult on the rise, while our non-Jedi characters are starting up their own freighting corporation called, I think it's Binary Transport, and they've just purchased their own starship. So it's really going well. I think, having said that, though, it's definitely been a huge change for me to run a science fiction role-playing game instead of a fantasy role-playing game, which we've primarily done fantasy for the last 10 to 12 years. So I find myself looking for ideas and basically just anything I can use to spark my imagination while I'm getting ready for the campaign. To that end, I found the Bard of Valiant, which is a role-playing game blog that spends a goodly amount of time talking about science fiction, which, like I say, as a newbie sci-fi GM, I really appreciate. Recent posts include The Role of Prophecy, A Dark Earth, which is a science fiction campaign setting, and a random sci-fi encounter with a killer garden, which is kind of a cool idea. You can check it out at www.bardofvaliant.com. Now, the other site that I have been using quite a lot is sagaedition.com, which is the Star Wars Saga Edition RPG data bank. It includes conversions from earlier editions, new rules, such as Jedi and Sith holocrons, which actually just came out officially in the Jedi Academy training manual, but these are the fan-based homebrewed stuff, NPC write-ups, feats and talent indexes, though I really wish they'd identify which book they came from in their master lists. You know, is a feat from a KOTOR book? Is it from, The Force Unleashed? Whatever. It just would make my life a lot easier if I knew exactly what the source was. But that having been said, it's just great to have the indexes too. And a lot more. There's just plenty of stuff there in terms of hand-rolled NPCs that they put together, new droids, new races, just the whole enchilada. Plus, if I remember correctly, conversions. Actually, I just already mentioned that, I realized, looking back at the show notes. But in any case, they also have conversions from the older stuff, which is nice, because I do have a couple of the earlier D20 stuff downstairs in my basement that, be nice to pull out every once in a while. So you can check it out at saga-edition.com.
Chris, you've got the 7 sun plants, but you don't have me. You were going to kill me, Chris. You were going to have to come down here. You're going to have to come down here.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you, and I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me, cliffhangered, marooned for all eternity in the center of a waterlogged, forgotten lab. Buried alive. Buried alive.
Chris!
The Secret Lair, the final... Oh, come on. You cannot be serious. No, I am not reading that. And what is this? These are the voyages of 230-something Midwestern geeks? Forget it. I'll say subscribe at www.thesecretlair.com, and that's it. I'm done.
So as I mentioned, while I was sick and temporarily a single parent, I made liberal use of the Wii and the Nintendo DS to distract my daughter and buy me some much-needed nap time. There's a couple of games that we've found that are pretty cool for the Wii, and I thought I'd just run down them really quick. Now, most of these games are kid-oriented games. There is one that I've really enjoyed, but most of these are really aimed towards Stargirl and kids in the age group of, say, 5 and up. Now, the first game that I want to talk about is Animal Crossing City Folk, which, if you played Animal Crossing in any of its earlier iterations on the Wii, or actually, I guess it wasn't on the Wii, it was on the GameCube and the Nintendo DS. If you played any of those earlier versions, you're not going to find a whole lot new in City Folk. It's pretty much just more of the same. There's a new city area to visit, which really just kind of pulls a bunch of content from the earlier games that was kind of hodgepodge and would only show up on infrequent occasions. Well, now all of that stuff's in the big city and you can go and visit there. There's about 20% more furniture and stuff to buy for your house, and there's some new shops, but you know, for the most part, gameplay remains the same. Having said that, my daughter still loves it. My mom actually still loves it too. She was a big fan of City Folk, or rather, she was a big fan of Animal Crossing on the DS, and she got City Folk for her Wii as well. Yes, that's right. My mom has a Wii. And the cool thing about this has been that on game night, which we have on Tuesdays and Thursdays, my daughter has been getting together with my mom to play Animal Crossing. So they have this thing called the Wii Speak, which is basically a microphone that you can hook up to your Wii, and they can talk back and forth. You may have seen the commercials for it on TV. And it doesn't work quite as well as what you see on TV. There's some echo slash reverb that's coming about because of the way the microphone works. But for the most part, it's been pretty cool, because before we got the Wii Speak, Jordy would talk on the phone to her grandma while they were running around in Animal Crossing. Basically, we'd throw it on speakerphone. This does kind of the same thing, but without the need for a phone. So it's been nice for my mom and for Stargirl to just kind of jump online together and be able to play it. And I think that's probably the game's greatest strength. Now, another game we got is Cooking Mama International Kitchen, which is... It's a pretty funny little game. Stargirl really enjoys it. And the idea here is that you have various recipes that you need to complete in order to make virtual meals. And Cooking Mama is the namesake character, and she's kind of guiding you through all these different recipes. And she has some kid helpers who are assisting her in making the recipes. And it's definitely very Japanese. All of the recipes are Japanese-oriented, so traditional Japanese meals, sushi, that kind of stuff, but they throw in some hamburgers and things. But Jordan, or aka Stargirl, really likes it. So, you know, I think the thing for me is that it was nice to have a game that was not about going out and collecting a bunch of stuff. She has a number of games that are like this, including Animal Crossing. Oh, what the heck is the name of that? There's a Webkinz. Webkinz is kind of the same thing, where you build a virtual house, you get some stuff, you put it in there. Let's see, what else? Littlest Pet Shop, same deal. All these games are about like managing things and getting more stuff for your stuff, which, you know, I'm not morally opposed to. I'm okay with that, but the gameplay was just getting really repetitive, and I really wanted her to be able to play something else. Now, something that a friend of mine at work turned me on to was Outdoor Life Challenge, which is pretty cool. Now, at first, I was kind of a little bit thrown by this, because the whole idea of this game is that you're playing a whole bunch of outside games inside. So you're running, you're jumping, or whatever, because it comes with a special floor mat. Basically, you put it down on the floor, kind of like if you've seen the Dance Dance Revolution floor mat. You put this mat down on the floor, and then you use it to run or jump or whatever and complete all the different activities. So you're doing all these things like, you know, barrel rolls, and I think there's a trampoline, and there's a couple of different races, and just all these different things. There's a whack-a-mole thing. And they're all outdoor games, which you go, well, why don't they just go and play it outside? But as my friend Jason pointed out to me, some days, like, for example, the last 2 weeks around here, it rains, and it rains a lot. And if the kids are just completely cooped up and going bonkers, and thus driving you bonkers, it's nice to have something that kind of can take care of all this energy, right? And I think Outdoor Life Adventure Challenge kind of fits the bill. It's not a perfect game. The graphics are kind of a little eh, but... I've really been enjoying how she plays the game, and I like the fact that she gets excited about it and is jumping around and really interacting with it, rather than just, you know, micromanaging her pets collections in Littlest Pet Shop. So the last game that I got for the Wii is actually one that I got for myself. It's Star Wars The Force Unleashed, and if you'll remember, this is a game that came out, I think, in the fall of last year, in which you take on the role of Vader's apprentice, his previously unknown apprentice, and you go around smiting his enemies in the name of Lord Vader. But actually, no one can know that you're doing it, so you have to kill all the survivors. It's admittedly something of a contrived setup, but, you know, the Sith-like apprentices, right? So is it completely unreasonable that Vader would have one? I don't know. I played the game on the Xbox 360, and, you know, it was okay. I mean, it was a shooter. It's fun to use the Force, but the Xbox 360 controller really isn't anything special. And, you know, it just didn't blow me away enough to actually want to go out and buy it. So a couple months go by, and I'm at my brother-in-law's, and he's got the same game for the Wii. And like, wow, what a difference a controller can make. Now, when you're playing this game on the Nintendo Wii, you're using the Wiimote, which is kind of like a wand, and the Nunchuck, which is just this, I don't even know what you call it. It's kind of like a bulbous thing that you attach to the Wii. Anyway, so what happens is that you use the Wiimote as a lightsaber. So when you swing the Wiimote, it's like you're swinging the lightsaber, including being able to block, throw the lightsaber, all that kind of stuff. The Nunchuck is primarily used for force power. So if you want to throw someone, you gesture with the Nunchuck, and boom, they go flying through the air. You also use them in combinations. I think there's some where if you bring both of them down at the same time, you do this kind of force blast, and everybody goes flying around you. And it really just kind of transformed the game. The graphics, obviously, are not going to be as good as what you saw on the 360, but who cares, man? If you've ever wanted to swing a lightsaber, this is the game for you. Now, still haven't really played all that far into it. I think I've gotten like 3/4 of the way through the first level, but the second level. I'm blasting my way through Stormtroopers right now, and I'm enjoying it. Now, admittedly, I'm kind of on a big Star Wars kick right now because we have our Star Wars role-playing game campaign that's ongoing, right? And I had just gotten the Force Unleashed campaign guide around the same time that I decided to buy this game, but man, I don't know, it's just a lot of fun, and I think that if you have a Wii and you're typically just picking up games for the kids, this is one you should pick up for yourself.
Hey, this is Fred Hicks from Evil Hat. Looking for RPG podcasts? You got them at rpgpodcast.com.
And that will do it for this episode of Nuketown Radioactive. As always, feedback is appreciated. You can send it to me at nuketown@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter. My username there is NukeHavoc, and the address you want to go to is www.twitter.com/NukeHavoc. And finally, you can find me on Skype. My username there is Nuketown.